I'm very grateful, and I know that you're very grateful that it's not pouring down rain. I think a lot of folks have been praying that it would not rain this morning, and it did not rain. And I'm thankful to God for that. I'm thankful for you being here. Someone might say, well, what's the difference of staying home and listening to the YouTube, or, you know, why do we need to come here? Because we need to come together. The YouTube is a makeshift, not ideal situation that we didn't have any other choices. But now we have another choice, and we're not violating the law of the land. We're certainly not violating the law of God by coming together. And I'm really grateful and thankful that all of you have come, and I appreciate your being here. The majority of people here are now on Facebook and are members of the Anderson Members Facebook page. And I've been putting on there a number of lessons as we've been studying through the book of 1 John. And this morning I want to look at 1 John chapter 3. So I hope you have your Bibles. And we're going to look at a few verses there this morning. And I hope that it will be helpful and beneficial to all of us. 1 John chapter 3. I want to read a few verses here and then we'll comment about it. In 1 John chapter 3, let's read the first four verses in this text. John says, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." You may recall in our studies in 1 John that we looked at verse 29 of chapter 2 when John said, "If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone that who practices righteousness is born of Him." Now that should sound very familiar to us, born of Him. You remember when Jesus taught Nicodemus in John chapter 3, He said, "Unless the man be born again of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." So John is bringing up this idea of being born of Him. The idea of born means to be begotten of Him. And what we understand that to mean, becoming a Christian. It is God's love that has allowed us to be born again. By being born again, we've become adopted children of God. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul said He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will. Well, the kind intention of His will is God's love for us. And certainly, God's love has been extended to us, and we have become the adopted children of God. I want you to just focus on that just for a moment. We are children of God. Doesn't it feel great to be able to say that? We are children of God. John talks about love a lot in his epistles. In the Gospel of John, he uses the word love 57 times. In this short epistle of 1 John, John uses the word love 46 times. Love is very important to John. It's important to God. For later, John will say that God is love. So we connect these thoughts together that we are children of God by or as a result of God's love. What a great privilege and blessing. The world does not know us because it did not know Jesus either, verse 1 says. I want you to notice there in verse 2, he talks about the idea as God's children, we are beloved. This is another form of this idea of love. We are the beloved of God. And then he says, it has not appeared yet what we shall be. Jesus, John says, is coming again. Did you notice in verse 28 of chapter 2? And now, little children, abide in him so that when he appears. John is talking about Jesus coming again. And it's important that he says to us that we will be like him. We'll see him just as he is. I think all of us have wished, longed to see Jesus. Maybe we, when we read the Bible, we think back to when Jesus was on the earth. And how many times have you wished that if I had just been there and been able to see Jesus and hear his voice and see the miracles that he performed? Well, we're going to get to see. Because he's coming again, and we're going to see him as he is. And I tell you, words cannot express how great this coming of Jesus will be. Not only from the perspective of his coming and the greatness of that coming, but how great his coming will be for us. In Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 21, Paul said, who will transform the body of our humble state into the conformity with the body of his glory. Isn't that interesting that when Jesus comes in all his glory, that Paul says we're going to be transformed from this humble state into conformity with the body of his glory? That's going to be an awesome day for us. I would like to suggest to us that in 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll not turn and read there for time's sake, but I would hope that you would go and read that again in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 50. And Paul talks quite a bit about the coming of the Lord and how we will be changed. Certainly, again, let me say, we cannot express in words how great this coming of Jesus will be for us. In verse 3, our hope is fixed on Jesus. Just like the writer of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says, as we're running this race, we fix our eyes on the goal, and our goal is Jesus. We read and study about Jesus regularly. We try our best to be just like Jesus. A little boy, he tries to be like his daddy. He imitates him. He may put on his boots. He may try to do a number of things to be like his daddy. A little girl will be like her mother. Maybe put on that apron and get in the kitchen and want to try to cook something to be like her mother. But what John is talking about is that we fix our hope on him so that we can be just like him. And then he says that we purify ourselves just as he is pure. We talk about Jesus being sinless, and he was, and he is. But if we're going to be like him, we've got to do something about our purity. We've got to do something about our sins. Well, John says we purify ourselves. Well, how do we do that as children of God? Remember back in chapter 1 and verse 9? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John says we do sin. But as children of God, we need to confess our sins, and he will forgive us our sins. What a blessing in regards to being a child of God. Now I want to read a couple more verses. I've already read verse 4. Let's talk a little bit about that, and then we'll read a couple more verses. In verse 4, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness. Here we see the nature of sin. It's lawlessness. It means without law. living without law. That kind of reminds me of the Old West. I enjoy watching an old Western. And out West in the day, there was no law. And it was really like it was in the book of Judges, chapter 21 and verse 25, where every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now you can imagine the confusion and the turmoil that that presented. Well, the nature of sin is lawlessness in regards to God. The idea of practices sin here is the idea of practicing lawlessness. Some versions say commit sin or commits lawlessness. Some versions say keeps living in sin. Keeping those thoughts in our minds, let's read a couple more verses. Let's read verses 5 and 6. And you know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. Jesus Christ came to the earth to take away sins. Back in chapter 2 and verse 8, the latter part of that verse, you'll notice there that it says the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Well, John had already revealed in chapter 1 and verse 5 that God is light. Jesus came into the world and he is the light of the world. He came for the purpose of ridding the world of the darkness, of sin. So what's the point? Verse 5, and you know that he appeared in order to take away sins. And in him there is no sin. So it's important for us to understand, as he says in verse 6, no one who abides in him sins. Now that seems to be somewhat of a contradiction. Because we go back to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, if we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. So did John contradict himself? No, he didn't. Here's the point. Do we sin? Yes. What happens when we realize that we sin because we're children of God? We stop sinning. We confess it. And God forgives us. And we do our best to never do that again. What John is talking about in verse 6 of chapter 3, no one who abides in him sins. The word sin there would obviously have to do with keeps on sinning or practices sin. Yes, we all sin. But we must stop continuing in sin. I wonder if we really take that seriously. I think all of us sin. We're all weak in certain ways. We all have our frailties. We all make mistakes. But as you search your life, are there things that you keep on doing, not because you're weak, but because you refuse to give it up? Are there things that you do that are sinful and wrong because you're having too much fun sinning? Well, John says, no one that abides in him sins. In other words, keeps on practicing sin. If you'll notice here in verse 6, no one who sins has seen him or knows him. The idea of see him or seen him, I think obviously has to do with experiences him. I tell you, I know for me, and I can only speak for me, there is sure a lot of difference in us assembling here today and the way that we've assembled. And I really did appreciate Brian Word's comments that he made about us being together. And it doesn't matter if we were sitting out there in the yard, if we were sitting on the concrete, or we was inside the building, or you're sitting in your cars. You know what's great? We're together. And that's a beautiful thing that we're together. Experiencing God together is what church is about. It's experiencing God together. We come together to honor Him. And it's a great day today. He also says, no one who sins has seen Him or knows Him. Did you notice back in chapter 2 when he asked the idea about verse 3? How do we know that we know Him? If we keep His commandments. So here's the argument John is making. John is simply saying, look, if we are children of God, and we are, and if we know Him, then what are we doing? We're keeping the commandments. And what does that mean? You're not going to continue in sin. So if you're not continuing in sin, it means you stop it. You stop practicing sin. Notice 7 and 8. Let's read those. Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, and for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Little children can be easily deceived. Little children can be easily misled. Now here's a very important point that John is teaching in this text. You've got to do what's right in order to be right. You must practice what's right to be like Him. If you practice sin, you're like the devil. That's a pretty sobering thought, isn't it? So we must ask ourselves the question, who are we like? The way you live your life, do people see us and say, well, there's a godly person? Or do they see us and they say, he's anything but a Christian? Our practice, our conduct, the way we live our lives shows our character. It shows who we really are. Sometimes you hear people saying they did something wrong, or they're practicing this, or they're saying this, or doing that. And then they claim, well, but you know, I'm a good person. That's not really me. I didn't really mean to do that. No, what you do says what your character is. You see, the false teachers during John's time, the Antichrist, the Gnostics, they separated themselves from what they did from who they were. They said that this old body is evil, but my soul is pure. Therefore, the Gnostics all argued that you could do sinful things, but your soul would not be held accountable for it. And John says that's not true. There are those who claim to be God's people, but they don't do what's right. Well, they're a liar. If you're a child of God, you do what's right. Now, you don't do it perfectly. But practicing righteousness is what makes one righteous. Let's notice verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 and 10 says, no one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God. For the one who does not love his nor the one who does not love his brother. If we're born of God, and are we all born of God? Most everyone here today is born of God. We're Christians. We are children of God, and what a blessing that is. We're here today because we're children of God, and we're here worshiping God. That's who we are. Well, if we're born of God, John says in verse 9, then you don't practice sin. May I encourage all of us as children of God, do not practice sin. If we are born of God, His seed or the Word is in us. It abides in us. We talk about the Word being the power of God to save. It is. But it's not the power of God to save for you if this Word, if this Word is not in your heart. If it just remains in the book, it doesn't do you any good. So John says we are born of God. His seed abides in us. If we are born of God, we cannot sin in the sense that we don't continue in sin. It would be a great trait for us to learn and practice in our lives. When you know you've done wrong, make it right. When you know you have done wrong, stop sinning. And why do we do that? Because we're born of God. And we want to be like Him. In verse 10, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. This reminds me back in Matthew chapter 7, in the Sermon on the Mount. Remember, the Lord talked about how that a tree is known by its fruit. Matthew 7, beginning at verse 15, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits." And he goes on to explain the details of that. Did you know that whether or not you're a child of God or a child of the devil will be obvious? We're not fooling anybody. Especially, we're not fooling God. Are we practicing what's right? Or are we just saying, "Oh, I'm just fine. I'm fine. Don't worry about me. I'm fine." But we're not doing what God says. John says in chapter 1, verse 6, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sins." Brothers and sisters in Christ, may I suggest to us this morning, I'm not claiming that any of us gathered here today are sinless individuals. We are not. But we are children of God. Do your best to serve Him and not practice sin. Do your best to walk in the light. And the blessing of that, we have fellowship with one another. The blessing of that is that His blood cleanses us from all of our sins. You've listened very patiently today. I hope that you've heard me. We're going to offer unto anyone that needs to render obedience unto the Lord. Maybe there is someone here that has not become a Christian. We want to offer you the opportunity to become a Christian. And yes, if you want to be baptized into Christ, we will go right into that building and we'll baptize you into Christ. If you need to make any corrections in your lives, and you need prayers of the brethren, you need to let that be known. And as a child of God, let us be proud of the fact that we are children of God. What a great blessing. We are children of God. Let's show the world the goodness of God and the greatness of God. Thank you so much for listening. Damon will now lead us in this last song.
Let's sing. There's a great day coming, a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by.